blessed power of Pentecost to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I have a very important subject tonight. I want to speak on the first three of the first sinners. Turn over with me to the book of Genesis, to the third chapter of that book, and you'll find there the first serpent. You'll find there the first wife, and you'll find there the first husband. The first serpent mentioned was the first sinner that enters in by the information given us by the Holy Book of And after the first serpent, we have the first wife, we have Eve. And then we have the first husband, Adam. So we have the serpent, we have the wife, and the husband. You know, the only reliable history of this sin and sinners of this world is found in the Bible, God's book. The Bible is no fake. It is a heaven revealed history of the sin of this world of ours. History is opened up in the scriptures, and we have an absolute discovery of sin and how it came into this world. We have been reading in the fifth chapter of Romans about this. As sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What a tragic darkness eclipsed the brightness of light, which shone, the light of God's sinless, God's spotless, and God's darkless creation. Alas, alas, alas. The words were hardly spoken until these words followed them. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. That was the black face of death. I closed my eyes. I opened my ears and cried that I might hear the agony of pain of a sin-stricken earth that day when darkness took over. The history of the beginning and birth of sin in this world makes dark and damnable tragic reading. What a sense of destruction when this word that had the robes of light torn from it and the rages of the darkness of the grave, the deep, as it's called, was its only covering. The first serpent's sin. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. I want you to mark those words. Mark the timing, the trick, and the temptation. Mark Satan's timing. Satan knows when to attack mankind. He knows how to attack mankind. He knows how to fix the bait, how to carry out the temptation and achieve the downfall of the whole world. He is the wickedness in high places. He's the past master of tempting people and destroying them. He had already destroyed a third of all the holy angels of heaven. For we read that the third of the holy angels followed Satan and destroyed themselves. We must see to it that we're not overcome with his satanic onslaught, but rather we must conquer his attempt to establish power over us all. Satan is clever enough to outwit us all. Eve was sinless and holy, yet she fell to his temptation. Adam was sinless and holy, yet he fell to his temptation. A third of the angels of heaven were sinless and holy, yet they all fell into Satan's trap. The devil can outwit us all. We are no match for his satanic enchantments. Note how in his first temptation he took Eve at the most appropriate time. He baited damnation to his hook with all the hellish skill of eternal darkness. The serpent mentioned in the scripture was exposed in Matthew 10:16 with the wisdom of serpents. Satan had graduated from this college of deception. Here was the first evil strike at the person of the Lord God and his most holy law. Note, Satan was the first to speak in this dialogue, and this speech was an attack by Satan pouring out his hatred on God's person. Yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. Who is this God that he should say that you can't eat of this tree? Here was rebellion and blasphemy against the holy God of Israel. Note carefully, Satan took the first word. Satan's job is always to take away God's word first. God's word cannot be conquered by the devil. Therefore, the devil has to shift it. He can conquer it, but he has to get it away. Hence, the devil's first preoccupation to damn your soul, sinner friend, is his preoccupation in the plot to destroy God's creature and to remove the unconquerable Word of God. Hence, the attempt to destroy God's Word in the heart of Holy Eve. Notice, secondly, Satan's trick was to break the hold of God's Word on Eve's heart. Listen to these words. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, God never said anything about touching it. God said, you're not to eat it. But the devil had made his first conquering draw at Eve. She adds to the Word of God. And every attack that Satan makes is an attack, first of all, adding to the Word of God. The great sin of religious apostasy today is adding to the Word of God, and so changing it. The serpent said unto the woman, right out in the face of God, God said, ye shall die. I say, ye shall not surely die. Here, Satan follows on with the negation and contradiction of the thrice holy Word of God. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the tree thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Satan uses this as a bait, food, to break God's law. The first wife in Eve's experience with Satan taking the step to destroy her faith in the infallibility of God's Word. First of all, she looked. Temptation begins with looking at sin. Sin was made attractive to Eve by her look. Then the desire, the appeal, to make her wise. Then the reaching forth of the hand to receive the fruit. Total disobedience. Then to put it to her mouth and to eat it. And when she ate the fruit, she suddenly lost her righteousness, her purity, her truth. She was a lost soul. So in the Garden of Eden, I don't know for how long, there was a fallen woman and still a sinless man. But she made a plea. She pleaded with her husband if he really did love her, he would join with her in the awful sin that she has just committed. The tears poured from her face, and she herself went and put the fruit into the mouth of Adam. She traded on her husband's love, and soon he had fallen into the same sin that she had committed. Adam was so cut off now from God in his sin that he starts to blame God. What does he say? He says, "This woman that thou didst give me, she took of the fruit and she forced it upon me. She's to blame." But Adam, be sure, your sin will find you out. You will notice that God stands waiting here. Adam's sin has been found out, and it has been found out in your heart, on my heart, and on the sins of every man, woman, and child that was born into Adam's race. The way God dealt with the fallen man and the fallen woman is an illustration of God's almighty grace. God's love didn't fail. God's tender mercy didn't fail. God himself would be the one that was going to feel the pain of Adam's fall. Go you to Calvary. Stand under the old cross of Golgotha. See the blood shed, the agony carried, and the sin load that pressed Jesus Christ to death. The punishment of sin fell not upon the sinner, but it fell upon the substitute. The Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. This week I was stirred by reading a hymn of Charles Wesley. "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? All ye that pass by, to Jesus draw nigh. To you is it nothing that Jesus should die? Our ransom and peace, our surety he is. Come see if there ever was sorrow like his. The Lord in the day of his anger did lay our sins on the Lamb, but he bore it away. He died to atone for sins not his own. The Father hath punished for us his dear Son. Love moved him to die. On this I rely. God hath loved me, I cannot tell why. But this I can tell. He loved me so well as to lay down his life to redeem me from hell. With joy we approve the plan of his love. A wonder to all, both below and above. When time is no more, we still shall adore the ocean of love without bottom or shore. He took my place. He died for me. Oh, blessed, blessed Lamb in the midst of the trees of the garden and at the side of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God gave notice that he would plant another tree, the old cross of Calvary. It predates all other trees, but it has a potency which none of the others have, the power of the forgiveness of all our sins. It is a tree that felled sin and Satan forever. Oh, for a bright celestial ray to bear our thoughts and souls away to glory's boundless, blissful scene, and sing the Lamb that once was slain. There all the harps and choirs above dwell on his vast, his wondrous love. Divine the notes and sweet the strain. Worthy the Lamb that once was slain. With them we gladly, humbly join in work so pleasant, so divine. His death is our eternal gain. Worthy the Lamb that once was slain. Worthy to sit enthroned above. Worthy of all our praise and love. Worthy forever there to reign. Worthy the Lamb that once was slain. Let his dear name fill our songs. Let his sweet praise employ our tongues. Sing on till we with him shall reign. Worthy the Lamb that once was slain. We stand in Eden's garden, and God speaks, and he tells Adam and Eve that there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that stands open that they may go in. And he tells them of one who is coming. And he's coming, the sinless, spotless Son of God. And he's coming what for? To be bruised. Who's going to bruise him? Satan himself. Satan that bruised Eve and Adam out of their birthright is coming to test the blessed Son of God. But instead of Christ being destroyed, thank God the devil was destroyed. And thank God we can say today, as we take up this book of Genesis and we look into this story, we get the great gospel promise, the promise of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God said, because thou hast done this to the serpent, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between her seed, thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. It was with the head Satan thought out how he would destroy the cross of Calvary. But the Lord says, do you see that hand that plumbed it? I'm going to break it up, and I'm going to teach Satan a lesson, and the Son of God shall bruise his head. But he'll carry with him the message. And the message is in his own bruised heel. Jesus Christ has to carry the judgment for the sinner, that the judgment may pass and salvation can be yours. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. Here in our midst, he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. May God help every sinner in this house to come and receive the blessing of life everlasting. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. Thy word is truth. And we pray that thou wouldst write it on our heart. We thank thee for the day when we came not to the tree where we could fall, but we came to the tree where love lifted me. When no one but Christ could help, love lifted me. And we have been saved from death and hell and eternity's darkness into the light of heaven's peace and power. May not a man or woman leave this house tonight going on to hell. May they do a right about turn and start for heaven and be in time. For Jesus' sake. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.